There's so much life and excitement here. Isn't it wonderful? But in the midst of the excitement, I do really want for you to have a touch of God's love. So I want to ask if you would be so kind as to pray for me, if you'll pray that I'll be able to speak a word to you from the Lord, and I'll pray that you're able to hear what He wants to say in your heart. If we could just pray for each other for a moment. And let us entrust each other and our prayers to Our Lady's intercession as we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Who would have thought it could be so warm on Christmas Eve, huh? So nice that we need a door open to have a little breeze. In our first reading, the prophet Isaiah told us that there will be rejoicing, like a bridegroom rejoices in his bride. And that's the kind of rejoicing that we come to on Christmas, the rejoicing like a bridegroom has in his bride, newlyweds. The church invites us to think of the beauty of marriage. Many of you clearly have experienced that, and it has been fruitful, thanks be to God. We have the sound of that all around us. That beautiful day, that's what the church invites us back to in today's Mass, that beautiful day of marriage. And we think of how pristine and how beautiful the bride is, the groom is. Everybody is happy, and we see them always at their best. And sometimes when we come to Christmas Day, we know that our lives are messy and things are difficult, but we get transported a little bit and we have all of the best feelings here and in this holiday weekend and this holiday season. But the scriptures also invite us to recognize that the bride who comes together with the bridegroom on this wedding, humanity wed to divinity, that our humanity is a bit blemished. And that's a gift of mercy for us because it invites us to look at our lives with honesty and to recognize that there are difficulties there, weaknesses, sins, limitations. We get that in a special way in the genealogy. And I want to focus on just one of these characters in the genealogy. There are about four moments that really burst out. But we'll just look at one of them. Rahab. I read a moment ago that in that genealogy, Amminadab became the father of Nachshon, Nachshon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Now all of you Old Testament scholars are going immediately to Joshua chapter 2 and thinking about Rahab. When Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land, which we read about in the book of Joshua, the sixth book in the Bible, when they entered into the promised land, they were reconnoitering, checking things out, finding out where the enemies were, the strongholds were, so that they could go back to Israel before they crossed the Jordan and entered into the promised land. And Joshua and Caleb were spies, and they hid themselves in the house of a woman of ill repute. We'll use that phrase for the sake of our younger members of the congregation, because they weren't going to be found there. Whoever is looking for them and watching for spies is not looking in the houses of women of ill repute. And the owner of that house of ill repute was Rahab. That's Rahab's house. In the genealogy of Jesus is Rahab. Now, Rahab turned out to be ready for a little conversion. Clearly, she was not living a life that should be modeled. And yet she received those two spies, those Israelites, and she said, "The authorities are looking for you. Now look, I will hide you, and I won't turn you in. I only ask that you have mercy, and you save me and my family when you come and destroy Jericho, when you come and take over the promised land, because your God, because the Lord your God is God." She believed. So this woman who is not living a very good life, this woman who had a lot of sins, this woman who had made some bad decisions, she made a good decision. And God accepted that. And Joshua and Caleb accepted that. And they said, "Okay, if you don't turn us in, when we come back with our whole army and we destroy this city, you hang a scarlet thread in your window and nobody will touch anybody in that house." So they left. She hung that scarlet thread. They came back. They wiped out the city. But they saved her. And she became part of the tribe of Judah. She married Solomon. They had children, eventually Boaz, eventually going down the genealogy. So God worked into this genealogy. He worked in this woman of ill repute, this woman who was not living a good life, this woman who did, however, recognize that today is the day of salvation. This is her chance to turn back. And so when we celebrate this wedding, like a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, as the prophet also said, "No longer shall you be called forsaken or your land desolate, for you shall be called my delight and your land espoused." What we celebrate in this wedding, when we look at that bride all dressed in white, is a woman with a past. That woman has a past. In the genealogy, there's a mixture of stuff. And we feel good about that because probably all of you are holier than I am, but I can certainly see in my life a past. And that past includes like yesterday and this morning and this afternoon. Because when we try to follow Jesus, we struggle. There's unfaithfulness in our hearts. When we got too wrapped up in ourselves, too filled up with our pride, when we lashed out in anger and we just expressed our disappointment to somebody, when we didn't pay enough attention to our children, and when we didn't give what was due at our work, when we didn't reach out to our neighbor and we didn't take good care of our parents, and just so many little things and some big things. And you know what? That's what Jesus came to marry. That's what Jesus came to celebrate. That's what Jesus came to enter into and to save. He gives the invitation for every one of us today to be like Rahab, to welcome him into our homes, to protect him, and then he protects us. What we celebrate in Christmas is that God came to this very out-of-the-way place and to this little place in our own hearts. He came to us who are sinners, then and now, and he opens up for us a door of salvation, and he gives us a reason for hope. So wherever we've been and whatever we've done, today is the day that we can welcome him back. If Rahab could become part of his family line, so can the rest of us. There's room for us in his family and in his heart. So as he becomes present in this Eucharist, we have a lot of distractions again, but maybe we can find some of those places in our hearts that seem kind of the ugliest parts of us, the most unlovable parts of us, the most broken, the most hurting parts of us. And especially those, if we can bring them out and let him say to that part of you, "I love you, and I came for you, and I love you like a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, and I see in you someone so beautiful. And I want to come home with you, and I want to share every moment of your life with you. Perhaps we can have that grace in this Mass to bring those parts of our hearts out that need the most love, because those are precisely the places that He has come to save.